Think of all the sleep hacks you've ever heard. You could spend years trying them all. Or you could instantly transform your sleep with Boll & Branch. They make the softest, most breathable bedding you've ever felt. And it's all 20% off. That's their best sale of the entire season. Millions of sleepers love their buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. And you can try all of them for 20% off with promo code Odyssey. So hurry to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Drew, the NFL draft is this weekend. On Sunday night, I'm looking at Pro Football Talk's website, Florio's website. He always puts the PFT most commented down in the corner. I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the top 10 stories are about one Aaron Rodgers and his rift with the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers dropped in after expressing to Mike Tirico apparently on yesterday at the Kentucky Derby that he's sad that news of this leaked to the media and that's all he said about it, that Aaron Rodgers is upset that he's become the talk of the NFL draft. Is any of this a shock to you, that Aaron Rodgers is trying to force his way out of Green Bay, reportedly, allegedly?
I don't think so. I don't think it should be anyway. I mean, it does feel like we're in a little bit of a different time. I mean, we've talked about this in the past with other quarterbacks who have sort of even feigned like disillusionment with their current situation, like the Russell Wilsons of the world. So I think we're kind of in a spot now where it's not altogether that shocking if someone just wants to exercise the leverage that they have to get out of a situation. And he's already, the guy's just, he's given so much to that franchise. I don't really, you can't take the position of the fans where it's just never enough. I mean, the guy has just done put them back on the map. So I kind of feel like at this point, if he's feeling disenchanted, he's allowed to.
Well, the big points that I guess he would have to be disgruntled about, first, just on a football side, most people have heard this stat, but if you haven't, of the Packers' last 10 first round draft picks, 9 of the selections have been on defensive players. And the one that wasn't was a quarterback, Jordan Love, that the Packers traded up. And and also this is worth pointing out, because I think the knee-jerk reaction to a lot of that is, hey, the Packers are always drafting quarterbacks. Look, they drafted Aaron Rodgers in the first round when Brett Favre was still there. The difference there would be that the Packers weren't actually as good during that stretch where they drafted Aaron Rodgers. And then the first year when Aaron Rodgers was a rookie, the Packers didn't play well at all.
Right.
But it was also after Brett Favre had already talked about retirement. And, you know, Favre had several years there where he kept dangling it out and playing kind of coy about whether or not he was going to keep playing, because he liked the attention too. So it was a little bit different than the Packers trading up to get Jordan Love, who is not nearly the guy that Aaron Rodgers had slid all the way down to where he was when the Packers picked him. Whereas with Jordan Love, the Packers traded up. So,
yeah.
So he was disgruntled, and he was a little peeved, and he was a little miffed. But he also did go out and play his ass off this year. Is there any part of you that thinks that part of Aaron Rodgers' performance this year was at least partially spurred on, but perhaps by just having somebody nipping at his heels or having a perceived threat of Jordan Love?
I can't think for one second that it didn't factor somehow, because I just don't. It's one of these things that are just not mutually exclusive. Like the mentality of being a professional athlete, let alone one of the best quarterbacks maybe in the league's history at this point, there's no way that didn't light some kind of fire under him. I mean, it's a knee-jerk reaction. It's not
it doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there were a lot of guys
trying before.
I've heard so many stories about various quarterbacks that no matter how good they are, no matter how bad their backup is, there's always that little bit of they remember the slights or whatever to motivate them. You know, like Tom Brady remembers all the guys that were drafted before him. So it's definitely going to make a difference. And I almost wonder, because Rodgers, you know, Rodgers is the kind of guy that you can imagine the scouting report on him coming out of college. Some scouts, whether they said it publicly or not, probably thought like, this guy might be a little too interested in other things, or this guy might be, he might be too smart for his own good. And sometimes guys like that need motivation. I've wondered this whole time if Gutekunst, the GM, and Mark Murphy, the president, thought, hey, this is something to keep Aaron Rodgers really focused, and that if he's disgruntled, then so be it. If they did that, I think they might have underestimated just like how much Aaron Rodgers holds a grudge, because like, I don't know. Has he spoken to his family yet? Did they ever smooth those things over? Because he hadn't spoken to his family for years at one point.
Right. Yeah. He's just been completely disillusioned from everyone. Now the team, and he's just a lone soldier out in the desert. Just
him
finding
and
his way.
Hollywood girlfriend.
Yeah. He's just, he's had a real rough go.
You know what it is? I mean, you know what it is? It's just like when Mark Gastineau, with his girlfriend was Bridgette Nielsen. And she distracted him. She distracted him from his day job as a New York.
I didn't have like a back pocket anecdote for a Bridgette Nielsen reference lined up for this. I think that would be, to be fair, giving that front office way too much credit by at least half to be coming up with that kind of strategy to motivate. Like, I just don't see. That would be such a wild move for a front office. You know what's really holding us back? Aaron Rodgers not being motivated.
It's a move that's way
confident front offices do.
It's a move that's way too clever. They're trying to be too clever, and it's trying way too hard. And yet, I could see a
fair. I actually think now I almost want to take it back, because that's exactly what an idiotic front office would do.
Because that's
fair.
You know, my issue with a lot of modern people in modern front offices, too many TED Talks. They've watched too many TED Talks about breaking the paradigm and creating your own way and doing things different, that they forget that sometimes you're just supposed to, draft good football players, sign good football players, practice good football.
Exactly. Like, let's not overthink it. I mean, he is just, he's in my view, just a football playing robot. I mean, I just feel like if there's anyone in a great way.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the kind of quarterback that's one of those positions that you're not looking for big emotional swings. I don't want my guy to be deeply motivated by the fear of, like, it's just, I want him to be in that kind of headspace where it's just ice water in his veins and he goes,
I could tell when I sent you some questions that you thought I was doing the sports radio thing of thinking way too hard about this, because in your mind, it's just, I'm going to see what you wrote to me. I feel like I'm missing something. Is this not just a pretty simple story of a guy who very clearly was carrying the team and compensating for a lot of deficiencies they had during most of the McCarthy era? Never addressing a lack of offensive help, and now he's getting a soft FU from front office. Why wouldn't he feel empowered now to do what he wants to do at this stage of his career?
Why am I so invested in Aaron Rodgers personally? I think it's personally.
I think part of it is, though, there's the report that he just wants Brian Gutekunst, the GM, fired.
Yeah,
which would mean that he's not necessarily trying to force his way out. But if the option is there, then maybe he wants it out. Now, this is the report that's really intriguing, is that San Francisco had offered Green Bay the third overall pick at some point, and Green Bay turned it down. Because now that he's spent a year in that Kyle Shanahan / Gary Kubiak / whoever system, he knows it. The terminology would all be the same. It's Kyle Shanahan. Compared to, because Matt LaFleur is just he's a cheap, like, fake Gucci bag knockoff of Kyle Shanahan. So he probably wants to go get the real Gucci bag out in San Francisco. And he's from San Francisco, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, that to me would be such an interesting fit, especially with an actually competent defense, hopefully, that continues to be.
Yeah, if they're healthy.
You know, if they're still healthy and they're able to, follow suit after losing their former defensive coordinator, getting a head coaching job. I mean, I would like to see that. The thing that you already said it earlier, they spent so much draft capital into the defense.
Yeah.
And I don't
They've had horrible defenses.
Horrible defenses.
Too. Yeah,
horrible defenses. So, you know, what do you have any confidence if you're him at all?
Since 2012, the defense has been in the top 15 of DVOA just twice. And both those times, it was like seventh and eighth. Like, they haven't been for putting all those resources into defense. And then also just generally not signing free agents on either side of the ball, just not really making a strong push. You get the sense, you get the feel that the front office is just riding the coattails of Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers probably feels that too. It's getting heavy because Brian Gutekunst, I can't even picture what he looks like, but I'm guessing he's heavier. I'm guessing he's like
it sounds like a bloated name.
You don't get to have a name like Gutekunst and live in Wisconsin without paying on a few extra.
If he's hot and spelled, I'm gonna be shocked.
What's his first name? Brian, right? I'm gonna look at it right now. The Brian Gutekunst. Oh, he's actually pretty fit. That's his problem right there. You don't get the you got to have a Holmgren jowl on you if you want to earn some respect in that town. Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl at least.
Yeah, stop looking so vain.
He's been there his whole life and he hasn't gotten fat yet. Screw him. So I guess the only question and the other variable with Aaron Rodgers was two. One is it would be really hard to trade him right now because of the salary cap and whatnot. It would happen after June 1st most likely because you have to spread out a whole bunch of dead money. Two, okay, there's going to be three things here. Two, if it's not going to be San Francisco because they just drafted a quarterback, is it going to be – of course, they could trade the quarterback. I mean, they could trade Trey Lance back to the 49ers or to the Packers.
That'd be a great – I would do that trade all day. I mean,
it'd be so much so powerful. The Jaguars could sign Tim Tebow and then trade Tim Tebow for Aaron Rodgers. That didn't annoy me at all.
For all their pride and any kind of
Tim Tebow popping up out of nowhere into the news cycle the day of the draft.
That was like the just pure distillation of everything that just pisses me off about media at large. Just like,
well, that was I blame that on Tebow though too. I don't know how that got leaked out or why. It's not like the Jaguars would have wanted that being the story on draft day.
That's totally
Tebow, who frankly, you know, he's a hell of a guy and he's better, way better on TV than I thought he'd be. But frankly, he half-assed his way through minor league baseball these last few years. He was a part-time employee. Every other kid out there is busting their butt, making a full-time profession of it. He was doing his broadcasting while also playing baseball and acting like he could still be the subject of sneaker commercials and everything. So I don't need him to half-ass his way back into the NFL, where frankly, by the way, can people stop pretending like playing tight end is easy to do in the NFL? If Tebow's not nearly as athletic as your average tight end in the NFL in terms of actual running speed, he's not tall. He's a short tight end. And it's kind of hard. The one time I can remember him trying to catch a pass in the NFL, he turned around and was shocked to find the ball there right when he turned around and it hit him in the face mask.
Yeah, it turns out, like, if you weren't honing that skill set to actually run routes and catch the ball and you were instead throwing the ball the entire time, you're probably horrendous at it relative to professional athletes who have been doing it their entire career. And that's also
like some phenom they found in Nigeria or something, or like, oh, my gosh, he's a natural. Like, no.
It's also, like, I'm not sure that people are paying attention, but that is, like, sneaky, the freakiest position in the NFL. Like, it is not – totally. Yeah. A lot of those guys are, it's kind of like the, you know, the offense's version of the freak DNs.
It's strange that it's so, and even like, I guess the analytics back this up too, that it's one of those positions where unless you're really, really good at it, you're not necessarily making much of an impact. That's what right. But the Patriots figured that out and realized, oh, if we have stud tight ends, we don't actually have to pay them that much because the average salary isn't all that high. Gronkowski, at any given time in Gronkowski's career, there were like 10 wide receivers making more than him.
Well, look what the Chiefs are doing. You still just cannot convince me that guy is like a once in a generation athlete. He's just not. I mean, there's tons of guys that could perform just like they do.
Oh, yeah, if they were doing it with you. Right. He was a second round pick, right? It wasn't like he was so clearly identified. Plus, he's just annoying. The one other – okay, so number three, when I started this list long ago, three little extra wrinkles to this whole Aaron Rodgers saga is if he could potentially step away and go host Jeopardy, where Alex Trebek at his peak – I want to say I heard this the other day. He was making somewhere between $10 and $20 million. So it'd be a step down in pay for Aaron Rodgers. But do you think Aaron Rodgers would actually enjoy hosting Jeopardy. I've run myself through this exercise, and frankly, I think I'd get bored after a while.
That's kind of where my head's at. I mean, I think that if you saw it, there's no question he looked like he was having a great time.
Right.
I mean, that's what it looked like to me. That's why I think it came off so appealing, because he looked like a guy who was good at it, but also knew he was good at it and enjoying every minute of it. But I'm with you. I mean, it is impossible to think, just like all those guys. I mean, Trebek did it for decades, and I'm thinking, you're doing it however many you're. I mean, I know they're not shooting every day. They're probably doing like 5 or 6 shows.
They do it in batches, yeah.
Right, yeah. But still, I mean, you're going to do that for years. That's hard to imagine.
But you bring up a good point there. You're not doing it. In my mind, as I was saying it, I was thinking like, well, you got to go in every day and do the exact same thing, just with three different smart people who, frankly, are way smarter than you. You know, like I'd be there. There's like three geniuses in front of me, but I'm going to act like I'm as smart as them for a little while. But you're right. They do it in batches. So you probably do it for like a week. You probably shoot like 5 shows a day for a week. And then you go chill with your actress girlfriend on set somewhere. All right, I take it back. I think he might actually like it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to pass up, especially when you realize just how much they're still paying all those daytime TV people.
But I also
know it's not daytime, but it's like the whatever they call it.
I look at Pat Sajak, and it looks like he wants to throw himself into the gears of that wheel. I don't know. He looks like he's over it. Every time I've tuned into that, and for the last 5 years or so, he looks like he's done with it.
I mean, we agree that he's dead within a year when that's over, right? That's what's keeping him upright. What is he going to do? He's going to finally do that? Check all those things on his list.
It's not like he's elderly or anything though.
He's gotta be old. He's in his at least 60s, right?
Yeah. But he's in Hollywood. He's probably been taking care of himself and not drinking and smoking like they used to. He's going to live to be, did Bob Barker die? Bob Barker died, right? So Bob Barker alive is the first thing that. He is. He's an American retired television game show host.
Bob Barker's still alive.
Bob Barker's alive. He was born in 1923. That means he's 98 years old or so. He's 97 now.
See, Price is Right. Look at Drew Carey on Price is Right. Some of these other people that go into that. I mean, like Steve Harvey and those guys.
Who's doing Price is Right? Drew Carey is Price is Right.
Yeah.
Okay. He was doing Price is Right until 2007. So he was doing it into his early 80s. That's not bad. That's pretty damn impressive, man.
Yeah. So he's at least 90, late 90s.
No, he's 97. Yeah. He's 97 years old. He was doing Price is Right into his early 80s. Pat Sajak, I'm going to tell you right now.
So maybe he'll take over for Pat Sajak when Pat Sajak
does. Bob Barker will. Yeah. He wouldn't be able to muscle that thing around.
Be an incredible.
You'd have to have a voice controlled wheel. Oh, he doesn't throw the wheel though. The contestants do.
I was going to say that would be great though.
Oh, speaking of gaming, didn't you send me an article about Juju Smith-Schuster getting into a gaming deal with his mother?
Oh yeah.
What's he doing? He's investing in a gaming company, a women-based gaming company?
Well, so they made him the ambassador of a completely woman-owned and operated, supposedly. I've done a lot of due diligence on this, but it's also the venture capital group that finances it is all woman-owned and driven. So he's like an ambassador along with these other athletes.
This sounds like when a creepy guy owns a Curves fitness center. And right? Like, hey, this is fitness for women, but I'm just going to hang out here in the corner.
I'm an investor, guys.
Why can't it be a famous female athlete? It's the ambassador investor.
I get the impression it's more like they're being savvy. And that they know that the vast majority of the people that are probably playing games, let's be real, it's not, they're already going to capture based on just the ownership terms alone, whatever amount of, female gamers are out there. But
yeah,
they're probably being smart and getting a few names tied to it.
There was I brought that up though, just because I knew there was a women's based gym, like a gym for women. I don't know if this guy was stealing it from Curves or if he had the idea before Curves even came along. For those of you who don't know, Curves is like a fitness center just for women. And
what was it called?
I don't know what it was called. It was
Cervix.
Yeah. Well, but he owned it. Like, so it was, but it worked out well for him. I think he filled in a niche, but it's probably. If you're going to a place, if you're the trainer, if you're the coach, then it's not as big a deal as long as you don't give off a creepy vibe.
Oh, man. I don't know. I think
most women just don't want to be at a gym where they feel like they're being objectified by men, right? Or B, they feel insecure around. There's an atmosphere of kind of a almost like a single spot.
Well, I dated a girl who worked out at S Factor. Yeah. Remember S Factor?
No.
And it's like a fitness pole dancing. That's their shtick.
Pole dancing.
And
like
so
pole dancing for fitness.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of core strength. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, there is. Okay. But they'll do this thing where they will invite like significant others to come in and watch.
Oh,
you have to watch from like a viewing portal. So it was set up. That's serious. So it was set up kind of like
a little booth.
Well, like no, you're in there with other, like your feet you're in there with other dudes.
Like, so you're in there presumably watching your wife, but then that guy's over there watching his wife, but you're but all watching all of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this just like an intro to a swinging environment or something? Like that doesn't.
Well, that's the problem is that like those lines have to feel blurry, like in your mind, but they do what they can to make it seem just completely. It's like all the, like they're doing everything they can to behave as though this is not totally bizarre,
but
it is because you're in like a police station, like
the witness room where you're like
yeah, like the witness where they're conducting the, yeah.
Like
yeah. So you're like, yeah, they're like hammering the perp, like doing the good cop, bad cop, and you're behind through the mirror watching.
And then having the music piped in and everything.
Yeah.
Watching with other guys. Like
they're
only allowed in if then now did you go in and was she an instructor or she was
She worked out there.
And did you go and watch her?
Yeah. She was like, you should come check it out.
So what? So
no joke. So this is just as an aside, we got into a healthy debate because I was overly arrogant with post-football fitness confidence.
Yeah.
And she was telling me how difficult it was to do it and that there's all these very complex, sophisticated movements that require all the strength. And I was like, one day I bet I could go in there and I could do that.
Yeah.
At 280 pounds.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
No.
Yeah. So I went in there and watched it. And and afterward I did the Firefly.
What's the Firefly?
That's where you like go to the top and then you go upside down and then spin around.
Oh, really? You did that?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
scary. I don't know if that pole is built for that.
It didn't feel like it was.
For some of it, it was wobbling quite a bit and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could have been a viral sensation if that had happened.
Yeah. Well, missed opportunity.
So now wait. Yeah. Okay. So I got to get back to the viewing room. So the women are in there dancing and at any given time, so they don't know which guys are over on the other side watching. Because it's through one way glass or mirrored glass.
So it's like super tinted. So
okay.
I guess you could see, but it's not clear. Like you cannot.
So there's got to be some level of exhibitionism there where you're maybe is it like the fantasy of you're a stripper, but you're not really a stripper and you don't actually have to interact with the guys. Because I'm just trying to picture myself. Like myself as a strong young woman walking in there and wanting to get my workout on. But there's eight dudes behind the glass and I don't know any of them.
She said you have to inform the instructor, obviously.
Right.
And they tell everyone.
Yeah.
Like before.
Okay.
So I don't think it's one of those things where like any day they go in there, hey, maybe there's like nine guys back there and I just don't know. Yeah, exactly. Like them, it's a different.
It's like a fantasy almost is there a glory hole involved here anywhere or anything? Is that what the hell?
Yeah.
It's called S Fitness?
S Factor. I think it's still got to be a thing, I would think.
I'm going to tell you right now, S Factor Feminine Movement. It's not Feminist Movement. It's Feminine Movement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Feminine Movement.
Take the free erotic creature quiz. This is what we do on this podcast. We take quizzes. I'm going to take the free erotic.
Yeah.
We take surveys. We take quizzes. And we take the erotic. Well, I can't
find out what your erotic language is.
It's just they're trying to get my information before I sign up. And like, mm-hmm. I'm going to be, if they ask for my gender, I'm screwed.
Yeah, then you're going to have to explain it.
How would those who know you best describe what is most attractive about you? What the hell? There's so many here.
There's jowls.
Sensual, indulgent, insatiable. Insatiable, yes. Innocent, curious, sweet. Curious, yes. Rebellious, risque, provocative, yearning, soulful. I don't know. There's just way too many here. I'm going to say
like half of those are kind of synonyms.
I'm smoldering. I'm going to write that. And then also, like, how would you know those? How would those who know you best describe you when you are stressed? And then there's all kinds of other ones. I'll say aggressive, destructive,
sweaty.
Okay, I can't do this. This is too much of a quiz here. Everybody go to sfactor.com if you want to find out. Or tell them which best describes your most vital ongoing core desire. So I'm guessing you take this quiz and then it tells you whether you're a candidate to give money to S Factor, right?
Yeah. I have a sneaking suspicion the answer is always yes.
So it turns out that you're one of the ones who's tough enough who wants the best for yourself. Exactly. That you can handle S Factor.
Yeah. You're just the appropriate level of smoldering, risque, and tall height.
I'm almost positive the woman behind that female orgasm cult is behind this too. So did the woman that you dated, she enjoyed it and she'd been doing it for some time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she did for years. Yeah.
How do I get I'm scheming now. How do I get Brandy to sign up for this and find one near me? Honey, we're taking a vacation to the closest S Factor.
Yeah, you're gonna love it. It's really great.
Okay, so basically you and I have a little bit of a disagreement in that I found myself, you know what it is? It's through the Deshaun Watson, to sum up our Aaron Rodgers discussion. It's through the Deshaun Watson drama where I was firmly supportive of Deshaun Watson's, you know, flexing his contractual strength, to all of a sudden now I'm just completely I'm completely spent on Deshaun Watson, because at the very least, no matter how guilty or innocent he is of any of the current allegations, he is very, very guilty of being, at the very least, incredibly sloppy with his business. And yeah. I've got no, he doesn't want to be with the Texans. I feel just no need to support him or anything. I'm just done on it. So when Aaron Rodgers comes up, who, to be clear, there's no hint of any allegations against Aaron Rodgers, I'm kind of burnt out on guys, you know, diva-ing it up right now. So I don't need Aaron Rodgers and his no sleep eyes, you know, just pulling the attitude on me.
Yeah. So there's like some like reflected blowback over onto Aaron Rodgers because Deshaun Watson doesn't know how to get a normal massage.
I would like, if he got Brian Gutekunst fired, then it would be the best of both worlds. Cause I feel like, okay, he would have flexed his muscle, but also he stayed with the team that he's been with his whole career. What if he just said, and by the way, Jordan Love's, when I show up on Monday, Jordan Love better not be there.
That would be fantastic. I want to see his locker cleaned out. Thanks.
Yeah. Like he comes
in. So you don't even want more money.
Jordan Love shows up and all his stuff is in one of those clear plastic bags they give you on clean out day.
He just decided to make it just all personal grievance. It's all focused on Jordan Love. Yeah.
Wasn't that the worst cleaning out your locker day? It's just like you have so much stuff. And it's all in a big plastic bag. It feels you feel like you're homeless or something. You're just carrying all this heavy stuff, and a lot of it is stuff that it's like nice quality gear, but that is way too large for anybody in your family, and you're not going to wear it anywhere, right?
No, of course not. No, you keep giving it away, and I'm like, why doesn't my family want these 3X sweatpants? It's so weird that they don't want these.
All right. Well, I'm sure the next time we talk, Aaron Rodgers will be off in Denver or something.
Yeah, I would think so.
I'm going to go talk on television about the Texans draft haul. See you later. They got five guys starting in the third round. They drafted a quarterback first. Drew, I don't know if you watched the draft at all.
I caught that. I saw some. They finally got their pick in the third round and picked a quarterback.
People were not, you know, frankly, you know how I am about draft picks. It's like, okay, great. You drafted somebody. Let's see if they don't suck. I feel like I'm at my worst as a sports radio host when people are upset about third, fourth, fifth round draft picks. And you just, I don't know. As a player, I just entered every year assuming every rookie was going to suck until he proved otherwise.
Right.
So, like, oh no. Oh, this quarterback's going to suck. Oh no. Yeah, the other guys do too. Just settle down.
You can't, like, get yourself as fired up as you feel like everyone else is about just the number assigned to whatever the potential ranking is that some obscure draft.
Well, no, because the problem is people convince themselves like, well, you could have drafted a starter instead of a quarterback in the third round. And I'm like, well, there's a 25% chance that he would have been a good starter in the third round. And even then, this team's not going to be good anyway. So I'm all for always drafting quarterbacks, and just no matter what, you draft because the upside is there. It's worth the risk. Most likely Davis Mills isn't going to work out. But the only way you get to a Tom Brady or you get to a Russell Wilson or you get to even a Kirk Cousins at some point is by having this strategy of constantly looking for opportunities. You know what? Tony Romo, you know, signing just constantly bringing in guys and seeing what they are. Matt Hasselbeck back in the day was like a sixth or seventh round pick. You just gotta keep trying it out. So
yeah, it's a good time to do it.
I gotta go be depressed on television.
All right, enjoy.